Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
We're going to discuss two types of work in the technology field. The first type is hard engineering, where you're attempting to solve a problem that has not been solved before. And the second problem is the adoption of technology. You have some scientific thing that adds benefit. How do you share it and get people to use it? So in the context of these two ideas, we're going to talk about how tech companies largely exploit work and advance not because of technological achievement, but because of exploitation.
There is essentially a ton of exploitation that happens, not because we're trying to grow technology and make things better, faster, stronger, but because we want more people to use what we have to charge them more money for it. And this is exactly where we're getting at.
So the most basic example of how to illustrate this is perhaps painting a room. We have the technology to paint a room. You go to your big box store, you buy a gallon of paint, you get your roller, you paint a room. It's $40. Everybody can do that. That's widely adopted technology in terms of paint. So from a technology perspective, paint is an already solved problem. It is UV resistant. You can't scratch it. You can clean it. It persists for a very long period of time. But from an engineering perspective, perhaps there's a better way to change the color of a room. I don't know what that is, but if you wanted to do that, that would be a hard engineering problem that hasn't been done before. So those are the two kind of polar examples of what this distinction might look like.
Right. You know, the hard engineering could be a new sprayer, or you're trying to solve the problem by making better tape for around the edges, or you're attempting to make a smoother surface by making a different napped roller, or you try to make something more cleanable. There's hard engineering. But the question is, how do you adopt it? You have this beautiful idea. It's going to increase at 30-40%. How do you adopt it? Well, there's a couple ways of doing it. First is just putting it on the market and see if anybody buys it. And if someone buys it, then they'll use it. The second is to hire a team of people whose job it is to slam it down your throat.
Marketing.
And it's not just marketing. It's the pitch of how to market. How should you do it? What's the training look like? Here's the materials. Here's the buy-in. How to finance it. Why this is beneficial to you. It's a whole bunch of insanity to get you to adopt something that you probably don't need because it's not going to be something you do every day. So the question then becomes, what value is this service doing?
Well, it's making somebody money, right? That's the key premise.
That's the key premise here, is that a lot of the things that you're seeing now is considered to be innovative is just people who are taking old technology and marketing it to you. That being said, it's things like in this new age of industry, I don't want to call it 5.0 or Internet 5.0, whatever you want to call it, the service portion of it now, it's I have a database full of data and I want to know what's inside of there. So instead of you hiring somebody to go inside the data, you're going to go pay millions of dollars to some other service entity that already has beautiful graphs to graph your data for you. And that's exactly what happens day in and day out, and there's no value in it.
Let's say you're Domino's Pizza, and you want to avoid the Noid, which they've rolled back in the context of marketing from the 80s. You want to avoid the Noid, so you're going to hire a third-party entity to design a pizza ordering app. This is a solved problem. From a tech perspective, it's a form with, I don't know, 12 input fields. What size? What toppings do you want? When do you want it delivered? Do you want it delivered? Do you want to pick it up? Very basic definition of what a pizza order is. But you're Domino's Pizza and you literally don't have a tech cell in your whole fucking corporate being. So instead of hiring in-house a tech team, you go externally and you pay one of these companies that is a adopter of technology to come in and do a repetitive task they've done 100 times for a bunch of money because you are so inept and incompetent at doing technology that it's actually more beneficial for you to pay third party. So this third party makes a bunch of money and you make a bunch of money because now you have a pizza ordering app that anybody can order pizza on. So everybody makes money in this scenario, but the people making the money are not, from a science standpoint, doing anything hard or worthy of all of this money.
The implementers make all the money because they exploit labor in other places. So they essentially take technology that they've written, this middleware, it makes nothing for nobody. If it went away, nothing humanity would be lost besides needing another connector or another company to do the same damn thing. But they use either A, a large group of H-1B visas, which they exploit because you're not going to get your visa renewed unless you are employed by them and they can release you whenever they want to if you're not a hard worker. So they hold that over your head. The second is they will take a program manager, a project manager in the United States and then allow them to outsource the work to India or in another country that has cheap IT labor. Because again, they're not thinking of new concepts. They're not driving brand new algorithms out. They're not doing engineering work. They're just implementing the work. They're taking already done algorithms and connecting them together. And the reason why this sucks and is considered digital slavery or technology slavery is that you as a worker that now have to make more pizzas because the app is making pizzas more accessible at Domino's Pizza are not seeing any benefits from this new app. You as the customer are not seeing any decreased price or free pizzas or anything. You're just basically allowing yourself to get pizzas through an app, which then means they no longer need as much staff in the store because nobody has to be at the counter. Everything's done through an app. And why this now is paralleled with the fact that the app was written by exploited labor who have done nothing new in society besides recycle the same used code as before in a country that's, you know, cheaper labor, and not saying that the workers there don't deserve fair labor, they do. What I'm getting at is that they exploit them because the labor is cheaper, not because they're better coders. And they want more H-1B visas in the United States, not because they care about the workers coming over here. They could get cheaper labor. And this is why in the constructs of a worker, you have to understand that every single time a corporation makes a decision, it's not in your best benefit.
So cheaper labor is desirable in this context because the problem is already solved. You're creating a connector, like you said earlier, that takes Domino's pizza database and links it to the Domino's Pizza app and basically just parses fields and aligns them with two different, effectively, definitions of the same information. You're connecting two things together that were previously unconnected, and you're creating a mapping of field A to field A. One might be something like, well, this is our Domino's location in New York, and I selected the Brooklyn Domino's. Those are the same. There's a connector there that routes your order or something like that. It's all very benign and simple. It doesn't need highly skilled labor. When you think highly skilled labor, you should think expensive labor. So when we say cheap labor, it's unskilled labor. Not that writing these connectors is necessarily easy, but you can do it cheaply because the problem's already been solved. You don't need people that will sit and think about problem solving, that will do hard engineering to solve a problem that has not been previously solved. It's already solved. They're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again with Domino's, with Papa John's, with Pizza Hut. The same company has already solved the problem and they can apply it to these three different pizza making companies. Each time they do it, they build up their own internal knowledge set that has been aggregated through the exploitation of work by doing it cheaply. And that ends up leading to a marketplace in which you have sunk costs and nobody else can compete. So then you make even more and more money because you already have the pizza connector platform. And then when somebody wants to sell pasta, you say, well, pizza is pretty similar to pasta. So now we can do it at Olive Garden where you get your shitty breadsticks.
Yeah, you solved a problem already. You're just implementing it in a different way. It's the same problem over and over again.
So another good example of this is the iPod. What was so magnificent about the iPod initially? It had that stupid little wheel that was touch-based that you could scroll up and down.
That was kind of cool.
People loved it, but it wasn't the first company that figured out that they could have a touch wheel that would spin, right? In fact, the first one was mechanical. It was a mechanical wheel that you had in the arcade game Tempest.
I love that game.
That was the iPod. And I never had an iPod.
What did Apple do that was different than everybody else? And again, it's just pure implementation. It was, well, instead of us having removable SD cards or compact flash cards, we're going to have built-in memory. Instead of us having download everything to a folder, we're going to give you a special piece of software that transfers file over. Quite literally the same way that you would just drag and drop files from like a window to another window, like your Explorer. Except that the original iTunes was just a file transfer software. It was already a solved problem. There's going to be a 3.5mm headphone jack. Why? Because you had to have headphones. There's a battery inside the charge with a micro USB B 2.0 connector, right, to charge it. Everything there is done. In fact, nowadays, the QI technology for wireless charging didn't come from Apple. The screens didn't come from Apple. In fact, iPhone X, that came from Samsung, the nice OLED screens. right? I mean, all the screens come from different companies. The wireless chips come from different companies. All they've done is basically create a software platform that just implements other people's software and apps. Email, they didn't create email. They didn't create Facebook. That's your biggest app on there. They didn't create Amazon. All they've done was created an ecosystem for you to program in and connect their data to your data over and over again. There's a reason why you have an advertisement ID on your cell phone.
So once they stopped making money on the iPod with the scroll wheel, they implemented a touch scroll wheel, and that was life-changing for everybody, I guess. And then they figured out that they could make a phone, and they called it the iPhone, that had a touch screen. But instead of being a resistive touch screen, it was a capacitive touch screen. And I assume Apple created the technology behind a capacitive touchscreen, right? They were the first to do that. That's why they won, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Just like, you know, your Palm Pilot didn't exist.
And for the kids listening, Palm Pilot was the touch-based phone that existed way before Apple's iPhone.
All they're doing is taking the same solved problem, which is an MP3 player, and moving it around in different shapes and sizes. I mean, quite literally, that's all they're doing. So nothing in society has gotten better, right? Because what have they done now? Thinking about the ability to bootleg and pirate in the 2000 era, where you could take copyrighted material you're never going to buy, and the poor person could then access that copyrighted material, to what you have now, which is basically a bunch of streaming services where you don't actually own the media of the content. You license it for a short period of time, monthly, which means now if you say, I don't want to pay anymore, guess what? You can't listen to the music you've been listening to for the last 3 years. It's designed to siphon money out of you continuously and keep you connected continuously.
So this whole discussion about Apple products is intended to illustrate that consumerism is what largely drives this slavery. Without people buying the latest and greatest bullshit Apple tech year over year over year over year, there isn't a need for these intermediate, widespread adoption companies to exist because they're not actually offering new technology. They're offering the same thing, but with a marketing bow, basically, that entices everybody to buy it.
Yep.
Again, even though it's the same thing. You used to be able to order pizza from Domino's over the phone. Now you can just use an app. Same damn thing. But along the way, there's a lot of people making money as a result of basically labor exploitation that haven't in any way, shape, or form contributed to anything beneficial to consumers.
Everybody is just connecting everything. It's really important for the listeners here to understand that digital, the data is the new gold. It's a new gold rush. The more data we can get from anybody, the better it is. Quite literally how it's looked at. Facebook won't offer you a premium service because you're worth more to them as a advertisement token. And you are tokenized, by the way. Advertising token than you are if you pay them $5 a month for premium, no ads, you know, special features stuff. Every major platform, they don't let you go premium because they're an advertising platform. Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, which is basically just Bing. They're all aggregating your data, Apple, because they can sell their data to other marketers so that Amazon has their cookies linked up with your purchasing habits, which they know where you're at because of GPS locations that are given out. You're basically a cog in the wheel for marketing, which is why all the implementation companies just want to implement your data. And that's why they're worth so much money. That is why all these companies out there, and I can name 30 of them, all are literally just connecting companies that take big data from one company and link it to big data of another company or link it to another service. You want to be able to spin up faster, you know, searches on your SQL? Well, then here's a hook that goes in your AWS clusters that hook, bang it out, boom. And then it does its magic and it kicks out the results. And now you can stream that to either A, the marketing people, or B, to an actual service that knows what to give you.
Like a pizza.
Or a pair of shoes. Or the fact that you love Domino's. So here's a weird Domino's t-shirt that you could buy that's vintage from 1985. That's on eBay.
Where you can avoid the noid.
That literal stuff. The slavery aspect here is multiple folds here with technology. It's A, technology has allowed exploitation because remote work. It allows exploitation through buying. And we haven't even talked about exploitation of the gig economy yet. You know, the ability to track and convince workers that by them being able to pick their own times to go drive Uber or do Lyft orders or whatever they are, that they're in control of their own destiny is crazy. This is pure exploitation because they've been able to remove the liability of an actual worker. Uber did have hard engineering problems, or any of the rideshare, which is how do you quickly grab data from your data pool and get it out to a driver to best optimize you know, who to pick up next.
So Uber at the end of the day is a consumer solution. I want to be able to hail a vehicle to take me from point A to point B, but I want to use an app now instead of calling a taxi company. It's the literal progression of ordering a pizza over the phone versus using Domino's. Uber's the same thing for taxis.
The exact same thing. And there's other companies now that are doing like Uber Eats, which will order the food for you for a nominal cost. Like you can go on Uber Eats and order from any variety of stores and then somebody can go pick it up for you. So they've charged you, you know, 2% or 4% extra on a service fee and a delivery fee. And at the end of the day, you're paying 48% more for your pizza than you would have if you just went and got it yourself. It's designed to siphon as much money from the consumer as possible.
And Uber is successful because they've accomplished widespread adoption.
That's right.
And they've already incurred their sunk costs to build out the network. There's very little room left to actually make more money. You've achieved market saturation. If you're a consumer and you want a ride, you call Uber, you call Lyft. There's very few competitors in this space, but you're saturated with the current competitors because you've already spent the money uploading all the GIS roads and toll roads and locations and distance algorithms. You've already mapped the entire United States. You have your shitty algorithm to choose a driver that's nearby to, in some way, shape, or form, make it kind of efficient. You're done. You're just going to print money from here on out because you've achieved widespread adoption. You haven't actually solved the problem because taxis literally already did this. You just made it more efficient to make money by using technology and exploiting the people that developed that technology.
There's a reason why after the hard engineering is done and it's only adoption, you see massive layoffs, like massive layoffs. Uber laid off 6,700 people in 2020 because the core of their technology was complete. Airbnb laid them off. Every major of these implementation companies laid off employees because, again, they already had the core technology done, and now it was just adoption time.
The people implementing this are doing the same thing because it's a solved problem, and they don't need to do the hard engineering because there's no profit motive. And if you don't do the hard engineering, you don't actually have advancement. But if you can frame your product as being a marketing achievement that is worthy of consumer adoption, you don't have to offer something new, which is what hard engineering would offer. You can put the bow on it and convince the population through propaganda that your product is new and worth money. And if you can do that, then it is. It's a perception becomes reality situation. And it doesn't matter what you've actually accomplished from a tech perspective. Once your product is complete, your workforce is ancillary to your end goal, which is profit, and they're disposable. So you lay them off, like you said, they have to go float to another company where they're going to do the same thing.
Same thing. All the resumes look exactly the same.
All of these people are generally well compensated too. They are workers in some sense that they are exploited, but we should not feel sorry for them because they are well compensated. And in some scenarios, they make a significant amount of money when there are equity events for these bullshit connector companies. But it's not based on their merit. It's based on just arbitrary luck.
If you think that the United States is a meritocracy, you're out of your mind. If anybody tells you that, you should yell in their face. It has nothing to do with your merit. And that's what meritocracies are. It has nothing to do with how good you are. It has to do with luck. It has to do with how lucky you are, how well you lick the boots, who you're connected to when you make money. It has nothing to do with that you went to a certain school like MIT or, you know, Mississippi Institute of Technology. None of that. It has everything to do with your connections. And you get those connections by going to elite schools. Not because you're smarter or more special or whatever it is. You've been selected to go to the schools by selection committees so you can join the ranks of those who are blessed to have the connections from going to the schools. It is nothing to do with merit. It is all about pure luck or influence or buying power. So that's why every time you see someone who makes it big in industry, it's because they've lied and cheated their way to the top.
Society has a inclination to reward these people that have gotten lucky with both money and stature that allows them to perpetuate their beliefs, which who gives a shit? You got lucky. But nobody will ever say they got lucky.
Yeah, they're going to pretend that they're smart or something. You know, I'm looking at a Business Insider report right now that says Amazon burns through workers so quickly that executives are worried they'll run out of people to employ.
They will piss off the entire workforce to such a degree that literally nobody will want to work at Amazon. Warms the heart.
The entire capitalistic structure that we live in now, and we talk mostly about the United States, is designed to extract as much value and wealth from you as possible. They don't overtly do it because they are trying to make you feel good about it. And finally, don't be fooled when somebody makes money in the tech industry. It all happened by accident. And in fact, it's a glitch in the matrix because that means that capital wasn't able to extract as much money as possible out of their workforce. It's a mistake that capital is willing to live with.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.